we go. Oh, baby, welcome to Duck It Motherfucking Dialogue.
Oh, man, that was pretty good.
Going hard here. All righty, I'm here with Steve Traeger down in Miami, dude. He's doing some cool stuff. He's got a security company down there. Go ahead, tell me a little bit about what you got going on, man.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you for having me, brother. Yeah, man. So we own a large, big security company down here. Primarily hospitality, nightlife. We have all the big clubs, EP as well, a lot of celebrities. So basically that gray area. So I deal with a lot of that. So, you know, that's what we say in our business. There's a little bit of black, a little bit of white, and a whole lot of gray. That's my area right there. So,
how'd you get involved in that? Is security something you grew up doing, or what was your first?
I kind of just fell into it, honestly. Moved out to Miami to become a famous actor and realized you actually have to work really hard to be an actor and do it. And so just kind of fell into it. My dad owned a boxing gym, grew up doing that, doing combat sports. Had a few fights. I mean, that's, so I just kind of, you know, had some decent size. So I just kind of got into it like that. So, and then I realized that was the world I wanted to get into. You know, I was dealing with a lot of celebrities, working at the clubs. And then I saw what was possible. So kind of just started like that. It kind of just happened. And then I realized I saw how many people weren't working hard or taking it serious. And I saw an opportunity to, you know, move up.
Okay. So we met in Puerto Rico. You're doing security there. What brought you to Puerto Rico?
I started this company a few times. So this is something I always tell people. Basically, the tower of success is built on the foundation of failures, a lot of failures, hard failures. Mm-hmm. When I was fighting pro, it's like, man, you know how many times you get your ass beat doing that? Like, you get beat up so many times in practice, torn ligaments, this, that, broken bones. It's what it is. So actually what happened, I was doing tours with artists, worked with a lot of big artists, running tours and all over the world. So I came back, I started luxury.
What are some of the good, what are some of the artists you work with?
Oh, well, I worked with the biggest names, man, like Justin Bieber. I think I had just finished with him when I did that. I just finished with Justin Bieber. A ton. We have a lot of big clients out here. Migos, Tommy Hilfiger, a lot of big ones. So
oh, cool.
I was.
You gotta keep being safe, man.
Yeah, I'm not with him anymore. My buddy has him, but you know, I did a lot of artists. Like now I do clients witness protection, do a lot. So
okay, dang.
It's pretty cool stuff. So I kinda came back. I finished a big tour with him, came back and I wanted to start a luxury transportation company. I saw it lacking here, you know. I saw just, you know, Miami is kind of one of the cities. If you work really hard, I think any city's like that. You work really hard, you'll come up, you'll win, you'll be successful, and you'll pass everybody. So, one thing I did was I did a lot of tours, like I told you, all around the world, traveled, hit different cities, and I wanted to understand security and transportation from a global perspective, understand nightlife, challenge myself, and I want to challenge myself in every facet. That way, when I came back and opened my company, there's not much that'll surprise me. Not much could throw me off. I'd be comfortable with being uncomfortable.
So I
came back, I finished a big tour with him, bought two Escalades, started my luxury transportation company, and Uber came out a month later and buried me.
Oh man.
So,
original venture, security. It was that, and you kind of pivoted a little bit.
It was luxury transportation and the fact of like an armed guard.
Okay,
like guards that could do it all. Because I saw the drivers here; they were really out of shape, older, just didn't take it serious, falling asleep. You know, so here it's like, okay, you can get a guard that's a guy that's armed that knows people that can kind of do both of that. So and so it's like a lot of the people here, they don't want to pay for security, but they want a driver, but at the same time they want to feel safe.
Yeah.
So I wanted to do that, kind of bridge that gap and kind of offer both of those services and want to just charge a little bit more. But Uber came out and it buried me. And then one of my trucks got stolen, unfortunately. So I had to go back out and raise more capital. I didn't want to take in an investor. I think a lot of kids nowadays, younger individuals, they want to get investors. Oh, mm-hmm. I want to get investors. I want to do this. I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to give up a piece of my company. I wanted to give myself every opportunity to be successful on my own and then try that. And then if it doesn't work, then I get an investor. But you got to at least, there's no abiding success without there's no long lasting success without commitment and sacrifice.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's why I did that. Went out there and worked 18 hours a day for 3 months and it was good to go.
See, that's important to touch on too, is that, you know, you may have took a more difficult route, but at the end, it paid off so much more because it's yours now. You're not, you don't have to, you know, reply to anybody else. You don't have to be, you know, 100%. Deal with anybody else. So
100%, you know, and you don't want that. It sounds great and it's good, but I mean, that's the last option. You always have that last option, but I think now, like I said before, like with the generation now, everything is easy. Do this, do something, be a YouTuber, be whatever. I'm not knocking anybody's hustle. That's awesome.
Yeah.
But one thing I don't do, I've never spent $1 on marketing. I don't have an Instagram. I don't do that. And everybody's like, oh, you need to do this. You need to do that to do that. Well, I kind of don't. Kind of successful here. And discretion is a big part of what I do. And security is like, everybody wants to be Hollywood. Everybody wants attention. It's a very me society.
Yeah.
So you want that attention. Everybody wants attention. That's a problem with the bodyguards here. Like, I'll go look
when that's I hire a security a risk.
Yeah, man. They all have pictures of themselves and take pictures and selfies. And like that's a deal breaker for me. You take a selfie with the client, that's it. So it's
so what gave you that kind of like bearing right there? What made you kind of notice that there was a lack there, and that, you know, what made you come off this more professional vibe, and I guess what made you go that route via trying to be the attention guy?
As far as what do you mean to be the attention on what? What do you like? What do you mean? Sorry.
So like how you kind of approach your clients, more of a discreet kind of security that you provide. What made you kind of realize that you needed to take that route via, you know, going the social media security guy route?
I wanted to do what everybody else wasn't doing. And it's like I said, it's a very celebrity driven society.
Mm-hmm.
So I find that, you know, I'm always going when I'm doing my tours, I'll be an advanced guy. So a lot of that is extracting information, finding out if my client's really going to be safe. So it's getting information from people. And what I found is even when I'm closing a business deal, you got to find your mark. Mm-hmm. And then you find what moves them. What emotional tag can I work off of to get me to sell, to close the deal? It's either people are driven by what, money, women. So the one that's very underrated, celebrity status. So I find that, like, if I can dangle a job in front of somebody, you got to dangle a carrot in front of somebody, what moves them? Like, man, I can offer my guys more money to work a job, but if they're standing by a dumpster and they're not on TV, they don't want to do it. I can pay them half, put them on stage with a celebrity, and they will do it for half the money. It's like, because they're about that.
Yeah,
that's what moves them. So once I find out what moves people, and that's the thing, to get around the women, and not a lot of people can handle it. So especially in the celebrity world. So once I find out what moves them, I saw that the celebrity status, that's what moved everyone. And I was like, okay, but this is one thing the clients actually don't like, especially to artists.
Yeah.
You want to take away attention from a rapper or Kim Kardashian, go ahead. Good luck with that.
Yeah, like, you're gonna lose a client, like, real quick.
Yeah, man. Yeah, like, if you're a good-looking dude and you work out, and I was with a rapper, I remember, and he was, you know, I can't say who it was, but the guy's very, very, he had issues with himself. He wanted all the attention all the time. So people came up and just talked to me, having a conversation with me. Man, he didn't like that. What was he talking to you about? Why isn't he talking to me? Oh, actually, he's talking about you. If a female would come up and ask me something or talk to me, hey, where are you from, or whatever. I would lie when he would say, hey, what is she talking to? So, oh, man, actually, I was hooking you up. She was asking about you. And I was saying, no, he's really cool. And I would have to do that, because it's like, I love the 48 Laws of Power, that book. Never outshine the master. When you're dealing with artists and celebrities, they're so used to being the center of attention. Like, you know, 95% of them, they don't want you to show, they don't want you to get any attention.
Yeah.
They want to own you. That's what they do. It's like a lot of the wealthy clients I have, they want to own you. They don't want to see you come up. They want to see you come up and do well, but not to the point to where they don't have control of you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that's what I found. So given those things, you always find out what the client wants. And they don't want that. They don't want you to be have attention. So I was like, I noticed all these guys were doing that. So I decided to, you know, the way I would dress, the way I would stand, body positioning. I think a lot of the people don't understand body positioning as far as how to, you know, it's for social, when you're in social situations, how to control social situations, where to stand, body posturing, facial expressions. So I noticed that when I would stand off to the side and kind of deflect a lot of attention to me, I became more successful. I noticed a lot of other guards weren't doing that. And so I always like to be behind the scenes guy. So I knew that's what people liked. And I had experiments. I would always do like social experiments in every
city. Okay, so you learn how to read people very well, but I like the social
experiments. Yeah, but I would go, let's say I'm in Nice, you know, in France. I would say, well, let me act like this type of individual. Let me go here. Let me act like I'm in Johannesburg, Africa, very rough place at the time where I went. Actually, very friendly people, but it was like murder capital of the world when I went there. So it's like, okay, let me move this way. But I found that professionalism, moving in silence, you know, get only act out of character if you're doing it to get something done for the client.
Okay.
But so a very selfless job bodyguard. So I found that was the case. And so I was like, okay, let me sell this and expand the network as well. I'm all about the network. So that's why I traveled too as well, but people saw the way it moved. And so I saw that was lacking in every city I went to, especially Miami.
Okay.
Still is. Everybody's, you know, they got, look at me. And they go, they want to jump in pictures with the client. Well, that's what the direct opposite of what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, you're
good. If I wanted to go after the client, I'm going to go after you. I know who you are.
Yeah, so exactly.
I used to have all my logos of all my venues on my website, but the competition, there's a dirty company out here. I won't say their name. They start leaving bad reviews.
Making up stuff. Okay.
Yeah, saying my guys are taking money and stuff. So it's like, dude, so it's a more people
throw it out
know,
there in the, Miami,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. So, dude, they'd send guys to work for me to try and infiltrate. They did like that's what these companies have to do. I mean, I don't need to do that.
Yeah.
These companies, they have to. So it's like.
Like you've done well with simply word of mouth. Like basically, your clients 100% recommend you to other 100%. People. So that's actually pretty, you know, commendable.
There's
right
nothing
there.
Better than having street credit, man. Like there's nothing better than word of mouth. I mean, you can have this and that, but nothing beats word of mouth. Nothing does. So I always said, people are like, oh man, you're the king. No, I want to be the underground king. I don't want people to know.
Yeah.
What is it? You want people to know your, what was it? I forgot what they said. I think one of my clients told me, you want people to know your name, but not your face.
Yes, like a producer or a director or something, you know, the guy behind.
And he was, he's a big music guy. One, he's very famous music guy, like behind the scenes, runs the whole show. Like so he told me that.
And so what was what was like one of the biggest challenges when you were getting started? What would you say, number one, you know, hurdle maybe that people interested in getting into something similar as you would have to face?
I think it's timing. I think it's the timing. Okay. And humbling yourself. The biggest challenge is humbling. I've taken jobs, you know, where I was making $13 an hour, you know, just humbling myself, just taking it just so I can get my foot in the door.
Yeah.
So that's what a lot of people don't understand. Sometimes you have to take, you know, a step back to take two steps forward.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, if you want to try and, you know, you're trying to, you know, dunk a basketball, standing underneath, it's harder than taking a drop step. So it's like, it's
an analogy. I like that.
That's what, I mean, that's the way I taught myself to do dunk. I'm too old to dunk now. But I mean, that's a thing they don't want to do. Like, then, I don't want to do that. Like so many of my guys, they want to jump right into the bodyguard and the A-list celebrities. And I'm like, so this is the way I tell them. You got to be able to work a post, like at a shoe store first. And then I can move you into like a low-level bar type situation. Then I move you to upper, like past the security polos into suit work. And then I can move you in the doors, and then you have to run it. So you have to know, I always say, know the temperature of the venue you're at. I could work in a club. I would know who's in there selling drugs, what girl's doing this type of person, what bartender's stealing, what's the, I would know the political temperature, who's a big spender, who has issues with their, how to sell each manager. Like until you know that and you can do that, but the way you do that is sitting back observing, just watching. And then you just very short interaction. You get someone to talk. You get them to talk, they're going to give you everything. And then look for that emotional tag. You can see how they react. So I think that the biggest hurdle, is the time is you got to wait, but it's, man, you got, I gave everything I had to this. So I would leave my family for years. I didn't see my family for years, my mother, and I just recently married, but that's, I'm waiting, I'm 44. I just got married because nice. I gave everything. Yeah. You Christmas, you're gone. It's yeah. your birthday. You don't have a birthday. It's their birthday. It's the client's birthday. You have no life. So it's sad. And then you got to go days, no sleep, the sleep deprivation.
Yeah. yeah.
Still, you know that from Puerto Rico.
Man. Oh yeah, man. We were in Puerto Rico after Hurricane Maria, and he was doing security out there as well. So I was working for a company out there. And he, Steve here was providing security for the whole place, him and a couple guys. And Puerto Rico was weird, man. Cause I just felt so weird walking around with a bodyguard.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they don't tell you the threats that's going on
there. Oh yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's like the news just tells you one thing, what's going on. It's funny. Cause I work in entertainment.
Yeah.
So it's, you watch certain news programs, not to get political, and what they're telling you is not what's happening.
Yeah.
It's what they want you to sell. It's, people don't understand that it's what they pay you. They pay, those are supported. Those CNN has money behind them. Fox mm-hmm. has money behind them.
Yeah.
It's like, what they say, Bill Gates spent over $350 million to media outlets donating.
And that's the thing is, like, even us being there, we saw how things were being presented in the media versus what was yes. happening there. So,
yeah, you know, exactly.
Being in the military is the same way, you know, seeing how, what was kind of going on in the Afghanistan yeah. and then what they're reporting on the media. So it's nice kind of having that, being able to see some things firsthand and going, oh my gosh, that is not how it happened. So then you kind of start seeing like, oh, okay, there's a lot, but there's a lot yeah. to plan.
Nothing beats experience, man.
Yeah, man.
Nothing beats experience. And that's what I tell people. Like, you haven't earned your stripes yet to do certain yeah. things. Like, everybody out here, everybody wants to have all the big celebrities and own a security company here or whatever, if you're in this line of work, but they don't want to put in the work.
Yeah.
It's like, man, disappear for, I gave myself a 10-year plan where I was like, I'm going to disappear for 10 years. So I have buddies that open security companies here. Mine is bigger simply because they stayed here. And it's funny, I've been here 22 years in Miami. They've been here longer, stayed here, opened their company 15, 20 years ago. But the only difference is when I stopped fighting, I was a cage fighter for a little bit, decided I didn't like to get beat up and yeah. I wanted to make money. So, but I gave myself a 10-year plan to go challenge myself. Like I said, double back into this. I gave myself a 10-year plan to where I want to challenge myself in every facet all around the world and build a network. So
yes.
nothing would surprise me. So it's like, okay, I've been through that. Even when I go through tough stuff here, it's like, hey, at least I'm going home tonight.
Mm-hmm.
At least I'm sleeping tonight.
Mm-hmm. That's key, the network part, and just being the person that's willing to do the things that other people aren't, you know, 100%. That they think they're too mm-hmm. above doing. And I tell it to people all the time. It's like, you want to get to Z, but you're not even, you didn't even start A, B, C.
You want to put in the work.
Like, you want the big house, the nice cars, all this stuff, but you don't want to yeah. put the work to get there. You just want it given yeah. to you. And that's why yeah. you're not going to get it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And the, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, it's weird how many people don't get that. That just feel entitled that they deserve to just get it because they either went to school or something, or like they just,
I dropped out of high school. I make more probably than anyone who graduated from high school.
Dude,
I dropped out 11th grade, man. And from the trailer parks, man, my story's not supposed to happen.
Yeah.
But you know what, man, my work ethic is,
mm-hmm.
if you know, we can be shoveling shit. I'm going to shovel more shit than you.
Yeah. Yeah.
100%. Yeah. You're in trouble if you're standing next to me. You need to go to the other end of the pile because I'm going to keep going. I'm going to go because it's just that pride, man. Nobody mm-hmm. has pride. And it's like, don't do it for money. Like, I do it for my legacy. I do it for my family, my generations that have died before me to get here, man. And like, we're here. We're yeah. still here.
Exactly.
So it's like, man, like people just don't get that. Like they don't, and again, they don't want to work for it. But as a company owner, I'm going to tell you a big secret. It's like, school is a lie. What does school prepare you to do? You think school prepares you to make money? No, school prepares you to work for somebody else. Oh yeah. They prepare you to work. Okay. So what? So they teach you to work a 40-hour work week,
mm-hmm.
take off holidays, take off spring break, Christmas, take off summer. So then you can go work for somebody who owns a big corporation, and you're never going to work. They don't tell you that, hey, if you want to be successful, you got to work 100 hours a week, go to the gym 5 days a week, eat right, eat, breathe, and sleep it.
Yeah.
But they don't tell you that. Elon Musk is, I think, the only one. They don't want to tell you that. So
he works 24 hours a day, like 7 days a week for.
Man, the only guys, I don't like my wife is like, oh, you tell people the secret. I just tell them what, work hard and have integrity. That's the secret. But it's like, I'm not worried about a guy who works for me. She's like, oh, you worried about this guy getting your secrets and taking your company? I'm not worried about a guy who works 30 hours a week, 40 hours a week, 50 hours a week, 60 hours a week. He's not going to do it. He's not there. I'm worried about the guy. If I see a guy who works for me, he's working 100 hours a week. He's still going to the gym. He doesn't need to sleep. A younger version. I see that. I'm going to give him a piece of the company and start. I'll put him on. I'm not worried about these guys working 40 hours a week. You work 50, 60 hours a week. You think you're going to get to where but that's what school teaches you. They don't teach you how to make money. Why they don't teach you business and network and running a crew.
Or even thinking critically anymore. It's just, you regurgitate what we tell you? Like anyone that has their own independent thoughts, it's almost like they're getting shut down for having a question.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
and go ahead.
It doesn't make sense for learning. It doesn't make sense why we're not taught about how money works, about how, making a company or becoming a business owner. Like, and it's all how to work for somebody else.
Here's the deal, man. Wealthy people, even myself, I don't consider myself wealthy. I'm successful, but I'm not at that level yet. I don't want competition. I want you to go to school, go to college, go to that, start off in debt. They're teaching you to start off in debt.
Yeah.
They're teaching you to get a house right away. Okay. So then you got to pay a mortgage. You're not teaching you to stack your bread and then make a move and invest in an investment property. They're not teaching you to invest in a business. They don't want you that because they want less competition. Mm-hmm. The wealthy people in this country want less competition. That's why during COVID, what was it, 2020, Rolls Royce sold more Rolls Royces than ever in the 100 years they've been open.
Really?
They had that company. Yeah, 2000, they did. That's why I saw all my clients that are billionaires and worth hundreds of millions. They all made more money during the COVID, which is funny. Yeah. And then so the bottom feeders, the people on the bottom, you're giving them free money. So that's the danger. That's the trap. As they want you, they do that because they want you to get used to being lazy. They don't want you to develop work ethic. So that's it. Like they don't want you to work hard. They want you to do that 40 hours of work. That's why they condition you to work for somebody else. That's why school is there. I mean, it's great. Listen, I'm not telling anybody don't try. I mean, everyone's different. You want to be a doctor or lawyer if you're going to, but do something with it. But
yeah, just do something that will, you can make money off of. It's just these people going and getting, liberal arts or just not even that. It's just getting a degree that they know they're not going to do anything with. So they get out of school, 100 grand in debt. And if they just put that into starting a business, they'd be way ahead of everybody else.
Or experience. So it's anything. Okay, you want to do something, even if you wanted to be, I mean, my wife's a doctor, so I don't want to say this, but you go to school for that many years. What if she would have started in middle school working at a hospital and went learning hands-on and doing school and doing experience? I mean, I dare to say that she probably had more experience and she's top of her field, but nothing beats experience. Like nothing beats experience. Go to school for that and doing that. So it's crazy because I just fired my fourth, my controller, financial controller for invoicing and payroll.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a business degree, accounting degree and all this, but they're lazy.
Yeah.
They don't have work ethic. They're not clutch. They don't teach them, hey, I need you to do this on the fly. Can you do this? Oh, well, I don't get paid to do that, or I'm not doing that. And I treat my employees extremely well, very well, but they're not conditioned to work hard.
So yeah. That's what they want. It's a different mindset. It's a different mindset now. And that's where I'm glad I went into the military, because I wouldn't have that mindset that I have now it's like, you got to take control of your own, your own things, man. And it just too many people they blame a lot of people. They blame people for
blame game.
It's excuses, excuses.
It's a sue happy culture. And I tell people all the time, excuses just make you good at one thing, making more excuses.
Yeah.
Like either you're making excuses or you're making shit happen. Mm-hmm. You can't do both. But I think that's what it is. But that's what the culture, that's what they want. That's what they want to enable kids to do is to make excuses to work 40 hours a work week. Mm-hmm. They don't want competition. You think all these big oil companies, big banks, they don't want competition. They want you to work for them. That's it.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's what I tell you. You want to learn to make money? Go work under an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Play Monopoly. You want to learn? That's what it, yeah. You know, that's what I heard when my buddy said, go play Monopoly if you want to learn to make money. Like, do that. Go to school. They're not teaching you how to make money. They teach you how to work.
They aren't. Yeah. They
are. Get a job and go into the system. So, you know, I was all about bucking the system anyways. I had my first business when I was 7, 8 years old.
So it always was something that you knew you wanted to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I didn't see the point in school at a young age. Yeah.
Okay.
For me.
So you said you dropped out of high school. You're just like, I'm done? Or what made you drop out?
Very, very poor area. And I wanted to make money. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't, I just didn't understand why going to school. I mean, going to college. I mean, I played sports. That was the only reason I really even wanted to be in school, but it just didn't make any sense to me to keep going to school. I was like, I want to make money like now. I don't want to wait.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I go to high school, then I go to college, and then what? Then what am I going to do? Like, yeah. and then I got to go. 4 years of college doesn't get you squat nowadays, I would say. Like, you know, it's not teaching you real world stuff. And then you get into the world, it's hard, man.
Yeah.
It's hard because a lot of them are very entitled. It's very hard. I go through it's a very high turnover. And since this new culture, you know, since the COVID, man, that's what it was. Everybody was working. It was funny how our country became most millionaires in the United States, more millionaires than ever.
During COVID.
No, before COVID. And then the COVID thing hit. We passed China for more successful people.
Interesting.
Yeah, and it was a lot of just crazy stuff, not to get political again, but all of a sudden we're winning, the country's doing well, we're number one for most millionaires in the world as far as a country past China, and then all of a sudden, boom, all of a sudden the COVID hits.
Yeah.
And we get shot down, and then all of a sudden a couple months later, China opens back up, and we're still shut down.
It's like, another
year.
It's been so weird. None of it makes sense.
and the thing is, they're giving you free money. They're giving you free money. So the worst thing you can do is not have work ethic. The best thing you can teach your child is work ethic, 100%.
And then you have
chop wood, mow the lawn, do something.
Yeah. Like, well, you had people too making more money on unemployment than they were when they were going to work.
I couldn't get guys. Yeah.
So they're like, why would I go to work and make less money? So it was a weird time to be. It was a weird time in history.
Well, here's another thing. I have a bunch of shoe stores that, you know, provide security for. Jordan's went record. Record numbers of Jordan shoes were being sold once we opened the shoe stores. Once we opened back up off, and it was like, these people, you're giving them free money. And then I have friends, I do a little bit of real estate investment. Nobody wanted to pay their rent. And I was like, what about the person who owned that house and owns these properties? And so it was crazy because all my friends that own apartment buildings, all the tenants were pulling up in new cars, but not paying their rent.
Wow.
It's like, there's something wrong when there's a country that will allow that.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's something wrong when there's an administration letting that happen and letting it ride, forgiving student debt. Okay. Yeah. It's cool. If someone's forgiven your debt, but what are you really teaching that child?
And who's paying for it?
Yeah, 100%. So it's like, no, like, okay, then they're teaching you. Okay, what are they going to do? They're going to run up their credit cards and they're just file bankrupts.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're teaching the child to do. You can have debt, and then just it's no man, nothing in life is free.
There's no responsibility there.
And then we're going in debt. We're getting bought out by these other countries, and it's like that. I think that America has lost that work ethic.
Yeah.
Drive. And one thing here I say, I'm not Republican, I'm not Democrat, my color's green.
Yeah.
So whatever day it is or whatever, listen, I have clients that are on both sides. If they own a venue, I'm like, yeah, I'm on it. Whatever, I'm agreeing with them. But because of our governor here in Miami, we exploded.
Yeah.
And I have jobs in LA too, but I have jobs in LA because the crime is through the roof. I have jobs in Miami because we're booming and they're spending money. Like it's different. So it's like, so we have people moving here from New York, and I'm like, hey, just remember why you moved here.
Yeah.
When it's time to vote, yeah, man, don't turn our state into that color, because, you know, we're not about masks and mandates and lockdowns, man. Like, it's let us work. If you have issues, if you have, you know, if you're sick or whatever, man, give that person money. If you're able to, but like, if you're an able-bodied human being, you can't give them free rent and give them money and just let me work, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it. Just let me work.
I agree.
That's why we're crushing it here in Miami. So.
Yeah. That's good to hear though too. It's interesting to see, you know, when people, instead of like going, okay, well, I'm getting a little bit of extra cash, I'll start a business, I'll do this, I'll do, you know, try to get ahead. It's like, oh, I'll just slink back into my old lifestyle and go buy some useless shit. And
yeah.
And so, yeah, you know, because I think that could have been the opportunity for a lot of people to change the situation they're in.
Yeah.
They're making money while they're at home, where they could do something, you know, and it just, I don't know. I feel like a lot of people did not.
Well, for me, I didn't want to take any money. I didn't get the PPP loan. I didn't get any of the money. I didn't want any government money because I wanted to work hard and figure it out.
Yeah.
I work better when my back's against the wall. So that's what I did. So that's why I figured out another way. Everything shut down. I was like, okay, let me do this. I started going, locking down. The crime started going up here, which of course wasn't on the news as well. It's another one. A lot of the mansions here and wealthy people were, you know, there's a lot of break-ins and crime and robberies. So I was locking down houses. We had infrared drones, you know, watching properties, and a lot of houses on the water. So
you were able to pivot a little bit and figure out. Yeah. That's the thing too, is just having that ability to overcome and adapt to that situation.
Yeah.
You know, you had your certain way of life and how you operated your business. Something happened. And instead of going, I'm just going to give up and sit on my couch, you know, you figured out a way to make money in that situation.
Listen, and that's commendable, man. Nothing but dreams come when you sleep, my man. You know, dreams and hard-ons. You're a man. Hopefully. Anyway. But I started going after vessel security. So I started locking down some very famous, like, NFL team owners. Because what they were doing, they were pulling their yachts and ships up here and just posting up. So I said, okay, this is what we'll do. We'll wipe down all your packages. We'll take everybody's temperature. I started doing that before it was a thing. So okay. I started doing that. I started coming up with a system, and this is a template. I made up a template. This is what we do. This is what we'll do to protect you guys. Da, 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 da. And I went around, I sold it, and I pushed it. I took every dollar I had in the bank and hired a new personnel. I dumped it back into my company during COVID and had them go out and sell those type of jobs. And I ended up taking over the market, and I came out after on top.
Okay. So like a lot of those clients that you connected with and networked with during COVID and kind of had different style of security, you were able to turn that into clients after the fact.
Yeah. Well, I kept making money. So the ball I kept, and then I started getting, COVID sites, and they were doing different stuff at the big corporations. Okay. We're doing like free drive-in movie theaters. And so we started going, okay, so I said, what is going to be open? What are the needs going to be met? Okay, if the wealthy are making more money during COVID, they want to be safe. What can I do to accommodate? Here's another thing too. I hear a lot of people, one of the worst things you can ever tell me as an employee is, that's not my job.
Yeah,
it's not my job. I don't get paid to do that. Okay, you all right? Cool. Yeah, all right. Cool. You're not going to get paid when you're at home either, when I send you home.
Yeah. Right.
So it's I started doing it's the details that separate the good from the great. That's what I tell my guys. How you dress, how you stand, iron your shirt, do this, like, don't chew gum on the side. Just how you, just all those little things. Don't
sit down. How you present yourself.
Yeah, man, it's the details. So I started figuring, okay, yeah, I'm doing security, but sometimes people don't need to be protected. If there's no threat there, then whatever, go run and get them food. Do this. Like it's the details. You see something on the floor, pick up some trash, help somebody move some furniture. I see guys sometimes like, oh, I don't get paid to do that. They're moving something. Man, help out, like, dude. Yeah. If there's a threat there, if the threat assessment's high, then you can't do that. But man, it's the details. Do those little things. And when I was doing, I noticed one thing when I had, you know, the transportation hustle, the drivers would just sit there. Man, when I pulled over, man, I was spraying Armor on my tires. I was wiping them down. My truck was the cleanest. I dressed the best. I would stand out. And I was driving too, trying to get my clients. So a lot of times I was bigger than the security and better than the security. That was with the clients. So I would stay in the truck. I wouldn't want to you know, I want to stay in my lane. I didn't want to intimidate and make them think I'm going to come after your client. So it's the details, I think, that a lot of people don't want to do. So yeah, you got to pivot, man.
A lot of what you're saying is just, and it's so easy to just do those things because it's all things that we inherently know. Like we should be doing those things.
Yeah.
It's just that, and it takes a fraction of a second of a thought to just be like, okay, I'll do that. You know, but where people just go, I'll just sit here.
Well, picking up trash. I'll go into a venue. I'll have a security standing there, and there's a beer, empty beer bottle on the table beside. I said, bro, what do you do? Number one, that's a threat. Number one, someone cracks, you can crack you upside the head with that, but pick it up. What does it hurt to pick that up?
Yeah. Like you see it, you know, you see it there.
Yeah, you're sitting right there. Pick it up, man. What is that? And then you're developing work ethic. That's what's more important. You're developing work ethic. Sitting at home, and that's what they want you to do. You think China, what do you think? Do you think they want us working harder, or do you think they want us to let our foot off the gas? We were crushing it, not to get political again, but I'm going to get a little political.
Go ahead.
We were crushing them right before the pandemic happened, the scamdemic, you know, and all of a sudden this happens. We fall back down. They're investing here. And I'm just like, okay, all right. So it's like, but that's what they want. That's why they have a better economy. They did because they work harder. But that's what they want you to do. They want you to sit down. Like there's no reason businesses should be still saying, hey, you can't come in here without a mask. You can't come in like without a vaccine. There's no reason.
It doesn't make sense at this point. It just doesn't. It doesn't. And I don't get it. But
it makes sense if you have clients that own large pharmaceutical company. I do. They're crushing it right now, and I'm all about it now. Whatever, do what you got to make my clients more money. So it's like there's the big five. I always tell people there's five ways you could become wealthy in this country. There's the big five. Big data. Well, hold up. Big insurance, big banking, big pharma, big oil, and big data.
Okay,
you know, those are the ones you're going to become wealthy off of. Let things that get you rich. But those are the ones that are really going to get you in that B, in the B class, the billionaire. But that's what it is. Big pharma, big insurance, big banking. Look at all those things that were making these people more money. So it's like, they were loving the pandemic. I mean, I was too, because I was attached to those people in those industries. I went after captains of industry in that field. So, and I just started going after and that's what was like, okay, they're making more money. How can I facilitate them? How can I get them? I always say I go for the trust. I never go for the money. If you're doing something for money, when the goal is to make money, you're not going to make money. Go for the
trust. I got it. That's good.
Do something because of two things to be successful. I tell my guys, if you want to be successful, there's two most important things. Do something you love and do something you're good at. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are just doing one of those. Or a lot of people are, you know, none of those sometimes. It's like, but do something you love and do something you're good at. You do those two things, you're going to be all right because you're going to be working. You're not going to feel like you're working for money. I love what I do. I love having to figure out problems on the fly. Yeah. I love protecting people.
That's something too, that you're able to take a problem and see it as an opportunity instead of a setback. Yes. And that's a huge difference in somebody being successful or not, is being able to see the opportunity in shitty situations. Yeah. Because there's always an opportunity. Yeah. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Like there's always that door.
Always. So
it's that's interesting that you're saying that. It's very
the difference between winners and losers. Sorry to cut you off. I tell you,
you're good.
The only difference between winners and losers, winners don't give up.
Yeah.
Losers make a conscious choice at some point to give up. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's too hard. I'm tired. My foot hurts. That's why on my high level jobs, that's why I liked working in Puerto Rico. I got to work with some good special ops guys, like higher level.
Yeah, it was cool.
I was a high level in the bodyguard world, but I wasn't in the military. So I got to work with some good Delta guys, some SEALs, but you know, and the ones I got along with the smarter ones, the guys that would gather intel and stuff like that. But it's like they just keep going. You just figure shit out, man. Just figure it out.
And that's what's funny there, dude. Like I was like, these guys are fucking all like Delta Force and Special Forces guys, and they're protecting me. I'm like, what is happening?
Yeah, man. Listen, you're an investment. We're protecting the assets of the clients you're working for. These are wealthy clients, man.
Oh, yeah.
Think about it. That's what it is. So it ties into that big five. But I tell people, that's what it is. Those guys are, we have one rule on the jobs where the guys are on tour and they're not sleeping. and there's a high threat, whatever, no complaining.
Yeah.
Your foot hurts, don't complain. Your mom died, your girlfriend broke up with you, whatever, no complaining. You can joke around, do your job first, but you can joke around, but no complaining, because it's a state of mind.
Yeah,
it's like, I don't want to hear you tired. If you say you're tired, I'm sending you home. Mm-hmm. Oh man, I'm tired, I'm hungry. Go home, go home, go take a break. Matter of fact, somebody else is going to fill your spot.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, but that's the difference. That's no complaint. It's a state of mind, like you said.
And
like,
you have lives in your hands too. You're responsible for people's lives. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if you're tired or you're hungry or whatever, you're thinking about that. You're not thinking about how to, you know, take care of the situation.
It doesn't matter. If you say, like, I could tell you right now, if you say my finger hurts and you say it every day, your fucking finger's going to start
to hurt. Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
You'll manifest
my life sucks. My life sucks. Your fucking life is gonna suck, bro. Like, it's like, so I can tell you one thing. If you something interesting about my view, I'm gonna show you. This is the city of Miami. I always make sure I live. And there's this, I don't know if you can see it back there. The city downtown.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you can see that back there. But so I always want to wake up, and I would wake up like my last play. I always want to face downtown, because I'll wake up every day, stand out, stretch wide, and say, this is my city. I will be number one in this. I say, I have a mantra. I do. I go out there and say it, and I have more than anybody else now.
And so who do you listen to? Because I feel like you have a lot of motivational, you know, stuff going on in your talk. Like,
I'm a big Napoleon Hill guy.
Okay.
I like to read. I like the 48 Laws of Power, Napoleon Hill. I don't really listen to
check that out.
Napoleon Hill. Yeah, he's my guy. But his books were banned for 70 and 80 years. The Law of Success, it made college obsolete. So that book was banned, I think, for like 70 years. Yeah. Because it was originally designed as a college. The Law of Success. Dope. Yeah, dope book. And Outwitting the Devil are my two favorite by his. He does Think and Grow Rich, which a lot of people read that because it's the shortest book he read. The Law of Success is two monster books, but that's the foundation. You have to read it.
Okay.
That's the foundational one. So I, motivational stuff.
So where'd you learn how to getting up and saying a mantra, stuff like that? Just, you know, cause I mean, a lot of people don't realize how important it is to actually hear yourself say that, you know?
I think speaking things to an existence, I think Napoleon Hill, read that. So a lot of the motivational stuff and, you know, Anthony Robbins, he read Think and Grow Rich, and that's what started him.
Okay.
So, and then he went into neuro-linguistic programming and stuff like that. So I think that, just reading those books, I mean, if someone's good on there, I listen to anything. So I like anything like Matthew McConaughey. I heard his, I think it was the Golden Globes, whatever he won, Emmy, whatever that was. Anything I see that Denzel Washington, some Grant Cardone might say something on there. Elon Musk. There's a few of them. There's a few of them who, if it's something quick, if I'm on my way somewhere, I'll listen to something. A lot of my clients are very successful. So they're self-made. So I'll listen to them. I always ask them, if you had one book to recommend to me to read, what would you recommend?
So you ask too. You're humble enough and knowing that you're in front of people that can give you value and that can give you insight. So you're willing to learn from other people, which is huge too. You know, a lot of people think that because somebody else is, they may have a misconception about something that somebody thinking that they can't provide anything for them or any insight. But I mean, anyone you meet can provide you with some sort of either bit of knowledge or something. Yeah. Like there's importance in everyone. I don't know. Something that is hard.
Yeah.
People don't notice.
Yeah. I can tell you one thing about a lot of the artists that you might see somebody on TV or see this guy. Oh, he's lucky. There's no fucking such thing as luck. Stop it. You have talent, but God's not going to bless it without hard work.
Mm-hmm.
There is no luck, man. There is no luck, man. You know, it's hard work. And so that's one thing you'll see. I remember people were, you know, I wasn't a huge fan of Justin Bieber before I worked for him. And I worked for him. I was like, wow, the kid, one thing, you got to respect him. You might not like as me might be, but you bet you're going to respect his work ethic. He can play every instrument. And the kid was doing videos when he was 3 years old. Doing YouTube that's who he is, man. Like, you can, he's a winner.
So were you around him like all day? Like, what was your schedule like with him?
I like doing advancing. So I would go get the information, but I moved with him a little bit. He doesn't like security around us. So he likes a little bit distance.
Okay.
So I didn't, and I did his last big tour. So I didn't, I wasn't, I was with him a few times, but he doesn't like security around him so much. So you create like a bubble, but I was more or less gathering information, doing the advancing, setting up everything at a tour, setting up, finding out what restaurant, everything he wanted to go to, and then getting all that, making sure he was safe.
You're up before he's up and probably to bed, after
him. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. And so do you have somebody out all night with him? Like, do you have people like standing by his door?
Obviously a residential security, someone always watching the house. I can't get into specifics.
Yeah.
He had a very solid team with him. So it was a big team effort, selfless. The lead for him, that one had the contract at the time, he's real good. He's a good friend of mine. He was selfless. Like if somebody had to move and do something else, boom, it was it. If one guy hadn't slept for 3 days, okay, let's tag him out. So everybody, we played our positions, but it was like no one person with the exception of the residential security. So we would float around. Sometimes you jump in and have to do this. Sometimes, because you're going off his schedule.
Yeah.
And as a tour. So the one thing that you know was there was he was performing. Mm-hmm. So, and then, so it's like, man, you might be walking around with the bomb guy sweeping for bombs. You don't know. Like it's,
yeah, you keep being whatever safe you need at all costs, man.
Yeah, man. And but the thing is with these dudes is they work hard.
Yeah,
very hard to get there. Like there's no luck in that kid's family. He grew up hard. It's just no luck involved whatsoever.
I'm glad you say that too. It's amazing how people still don't understand that they think they're people just like wake up one day, start singing, and someone hears them go, oh, shoot, let me give you a record deal and all this money.
Well, it's easy to hate. It's easier to hate on that person.
Yeah.
It's easier to say, oh, I don't like this person because they're, you know, I'm guilty of it. When I was working in the clubs, I was at the VIP rope, and I'd see this guy popping all these bottles. Oh, look at this old guy with these younger chicks, man. They're using him for his money.
Yeah.
And I'm hating. I'm just, you know, it's like, you know, don't hate, celebrate.
Then yeah, then you're not growing at all. You know,
and I was like, how can I be like that guy?
Yeah.
How can I be in him? How can I? And then once you find out, you talk to the guy. The guy's actually pretty cool. A lot of them, unless he's a trust fund kid. I don't do trust fund kids.
Yeah, no, there's definitely.
I don't work for trust. It's freaking horrible. They're the worst. Spoiled brats.
Oh,
I've worked for a couple of them, and I'm like, nah, man, they're the worst, and they have no real friends. But
they have no perspective. They have no perspective, man.
That's why the best clients are the ones who build everything. But their kids are a nightmare to work for. Every single super wealthy client I have, the kids are a nightmare.
Because they know
man, you take them out to a club. I mean, I can't say every single one. There are a few exceptions, but not many, man.
Yeah.
Because they didn't teach them hard work. They don't understand the value of a dollar. They don't understand what it takes to make that dollar bill. Like I tell my wife, you know, she grew up in a nice area, whatnot. So I told her, I said, one thing I understand a lot is these younger generation doesn't understand. I remember, you know, before I moved here in Virginia, I was in Virginia, like, okay, getting a job, having $12 to my name and having to figure out, okay, I got to eat in $12. So I got to put $6.50 in my gas, $7 in my gas tank, buy a bag of potatoes, buy a tub of peanut butter and a loaf of bread. Like, and no one's had to, I mean, it's until you've had to do that, you don't really know. You don't understand the value of a dollar.
So is that what kind of blossomed your work ethic, or did you have any, like, somebody teaching you kind of, or to show you?
Oh, man. Yeah. So my dad lived out in the country. My mom lived in Virginia, like in the hood kind of. And so my dad lived out in Arkansas, the country. So every summer I would go live out there with him. And then I lived 1 year, but he would just work the piss out of me.
Okay.
Like, so farm? He was always, yeah, man, he always moved in farms and land. I always had a lot of land in the middle of the woods, and I wasn't allowed to be inside. So, and so my dad, he worked, you know, I don't know, 70, 80 hours a week. And I had three sisters, with stepsisters, half sisters, and my stepmom was with her. So she was like, I don't want him in the house. I was wild. And so just work. Yeah. So just work. And if there wasn't anything for me to do, they sent me to go work with somebody else. They were like, go load hay bales with him. We'll give you $10 for the day. I was like, wait a minute, that's illegal, man. Like, what is like, bro, like, dude, but it was the best thing.
Give me 20, we'll make it a deal.
Yeah. Then I was like, wait a minute, hold on, man. Something isn't right. One thing I was always good at was math.
Yeah.
I know if you're hustling me. So like, wait a minute, hold on, man. That's to come with that fuzzy math, man. $10. I was out there for 17 hours, bro. Yo, like, hold on a second.
Maybe 10, but that doesn't add up.
Like, man, let me see, you work that long loading hay bales in the hot Oklahoma, Arkansas sun. getting stung by those ground bees. That $10, you're gonna hold on to that. You're gonna hold on to.
Yeah, you're gonna appreciate that. Yeah.
Yeah, man. And so, and then with my mother, it was always the same thing. Okay, do the dishes, change my oil, mow the lawn, do everything.
So I was changing. So you were taught at a young age hard work and
nothing in life is free, but Jesus, as they teach you to tell me.
So how were they, your parents, when you decided you were dropping out of school? Did you have a plan? Did you know, like,
wanted to go to work, man?
Okay.
Just wanted to go to work.
Was it anything in particular that you knew you were going to do? Like, what did you drop out for?
No, I just wanted, well, I was doing landscaping on a golf course.
Okay.
So my friends were doing that, my older friends, but it was just like, I needed to make money right away. Mm. I didn't see, I mean, like I said, I was living in a trailer park at the time.
Oh, lost you.
Yep, you good to go?
Yeah, there you go. You're living in a trailer park.
There was all of them worked shit jobs. And so there's no motivation to do anything. It was like, man, the reality was go work a blue collar job, you know, whatever, and then get a case of beer, go home, get drunk, pass out, wake up, go do it again. That's what I tell people. Poverty is a mindset.
Yeah.
So it's unfortunate because I have a lot of college kids that come work for me, or even the ones that play football in school, they tend to do well. The football players, basketball players, not so much. They don't do so well in security. Football players usually do. They understand work ethic, physical, arriving on time. They don't complain. They're used to getting hurt, getting back up. Yeah, get the wind out of you. You get hurt your knee, rub some dirt on it, get back on. So it's the same thing. It's like, you're like the military. If your kid doesn't play football or go in the military, man, or play a contact sport and you have a son, man, there's a big possibility he's at a disadvantage.
Yeah.
So I lost my train of thought. What was that? Talking about poverty is poverty, it's not a financial situation, it's a state of mind, man. Mm-hmm. So a lot of them, that when they graduate high school, their first thing to do is, okay, a lot of guys that have working for me, like, oh, I'm going to get a job with the city. And I'm like, okay, because you want to work 40 hours a week, you want benefits, then you're caught in a system.
Then what are you going to do? A loop.
Dude, 2 years from now, you're going to get a dollar raise or do this or that. How are you going to move up?
You can map your whole life out and like know exactly what your life is going
to be. But you know what it is. Do you know what it is? And then retirement, they dangle that in front of them.
Oh, yeah, you're going to retire. Like, you're going to have retirement.
You know, getting $5 a month. So I have a guy, amazing bodyguard, amazing. He works for a city for healthcare, and he makes like 19, 20 bucks an hour. And I tell him, come work for me. I'll pay $400-$500 a day. Oh, but I get benefits. I'm like, bro, do the math. But yeah. I can't get through to him. Amazing bodyguard. Very good. And he works for me when he can. But he's just caught up in that. Oh, I want my benefits. I want my benefits. You know, this is what I want. Like, it's like, oh, my retirement from this. Oh, but I get benefits. I get after that. I'm like, okay, so it takes you 10 years to get that. Look how much money you would have made.
Exactly. Even if you
put that in a Roth IRA or invest in some real estate. It's like, but it's that mindset. Mm-hmm. And everybody in their family, it's crazy. I have them telling, like, I'll have guys that, you know, hey, just start your own security company, get insurance, and you can do bodyguard work. You're going to make a ton of money. But instead, their family is telling them, no, don't do that. You need benefits. I'm like, what better benefit is cash?
You can still get insurance. You can still,
you can do a Roth IRA. You can set yourself up and you're going to make more money. Have your money. Yeah. Fear.
It's fear.
A mindset. Mm-hmm. And the family, I can't tell you how hard it is to get guys here in Miami now, but it's because they gave them so much free money and they didn't want to work. Like, that's what they want to do. So it's like, not work. I was like, oh, I still want to get. And they were like, hey, can you pay me under the table? I was like, no. They were like, I still want to make this money. I still want to get this free money. And I was like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Sure enough, when the money runs out, they all call me and I'm like, negative, not going to happen. We don't hire that. The people that stuck with me and wanted to work, it's like, I'm not looking for somebody who wants a free ride or someone looking to cheat the system.
Yeah. You want somebody like, that's going to try and cheat me.
The same person that's going to steal from me. Did you tell me that guy is going to clock in, say he arrived early. Clock in when earlier before he arrives, lie, do something. He's going to be the first one that wants to sit down or do something. Yeah. What is it? Scratch a liar, find a thief. If you're willing to lie to me or steal from, like, like, bro, just get a job, dude. There's no honor and integrity in that.
Yeah.
Like, it's gonna find you out. You're whatever you're doing, whatever shadiness, it's gonna come, man. Shit floats after a while, bro. You're gonna get stuck. You're gonna get stuck, and it's not gonna feel good.
Yeah.
So especially the government, man. But they don't. But nobody wanted to work here. It was crazy. But now the work ethic just isn't there. Like guys are saying, oh, I'm tired. Like, man, guys are telling me, oh man, there'll be, you know, the 8-hour work shift. I'm like, oh man, I you know, how many breaks do I get? What are you talking about? How many breaks? I get one break, bro. What are you?
It's so funny the difference in between, like, somebody who was in the military, or, you know, like you said, just the mindset of, I don't know. It's like breaks. Like, what do you mean a break? Just do your job and then be done with the job.
I always wanted to get paid by the job. I never wanted to be an hourly guy. Yeah. I never pay me by the job. Pay me how much I'm going to do. Even when I was doing landscaping, then I got into, I was one of the harder workers there. Then I got into an electrical apprenticeship, it's a construction company. And then right away I was like, all right, man, there's still a cap on how much I can make, how fast. And I'm not able to use my social skills, getting information when it travels. So that's when I dipped out. I did that for like a year and a half. But I was like, no, I want to move up faster. And then they were like, okay, you have an option. You can work 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, or work 4 tens. I was like, what do you mean? 4 tens?
Yeah,
do 4 tens, and then I can get another job in the weekends.
Yeah,
doing something to make more money, and I'm going to come up, man. That's why I tell this younger generation: you want to get loans, you want to get investors. Everybody's like, everybody tries to come at me and hey, I want to meet your client. We have an investment opportunity for my clients. I said, absolutely not. Nobody, like, people all the time, like, oh, I got this new product. Can you talk to your clients? We put this money out. We're going to get rich. I'm good, man. It's like, nobody wants to work.
They think that if they work a 40-hour week, that they've already worked enough and they can't go home and work on their side hustle or whatever after that. They're like, I worked a full day today. I'm going to go home and I can sit down and watch TV now. Instead of like going, all right, I'm going to get off my job, go home, bust my ass for another 4 or 5 hours on my own side hustle so I can build my way out of that. And it's it doesn't make sense. It's such a clear path in my head. And it's clear. Weird how some people just are like, that won't work, or like, you know, just the reserve that they have.
I can't do that. Yeah. And TV is a cancer, man.
Yeah.
People, you want to watch, have you watching TV. So it's like, oh man, okay. If you're caught up on your favorite TV show, you're probably not just making 7 figures.
Yeah.
You're probably not going to be super successful in life. If you're caught up on
the TV show. I'm guilty of that sometimes, for sure.
I mean, listen, I watch some, but it's if I want to escape reality.
Yeah.
If I need to laugh. Or something that's going to motivate me, or a true story, but I have to get some benefit out of it. That's what I got to tell myself anyways. Like, okay, spend some time with the wife, let's watch a movie, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's like, you look at a lot of things that you do outside of work is, will this benefit me in the long run, or is this going to hinder my, you know, chance of success? And that's something that people don't take a look at either. It's like what you're doing when you're done with work, you know, it's very important too, how you're training your mind on
The gym.
Yeah.
That's what I tell these guys, strong body equals strong mind. Like it's the guys that are going to the gym a lot. You're developing work ethic. If you're working 40 hours at work week and you do security, like I had these guys, big pot belly, don't work out. They're like, oh, I want to go do this job. And then they're looking over, they're like, put me on the same job you're putting this guy on. The guy's a beast. Guys,
the brawny paper towel guy, or
he's been working out for 20 years, 4 hours a day. Like, how can you compare yourself to him?
Yeah.
Like, you know, oh, I'm tired. Okay, yeah, everyone's tired. Go to the gym, man. Do 30 minutes a day, 30 minutes a day, a couple times a week. But if you want to be an A-list bodyguard and you're not in the gym regularly, there's something wrong. Mm-hmm. There's something wrong. Your mind is weak. I would tell people what I like to do for me is I like to start the day off with an L. Which means I want to do something that humbles me. Go do a massive set of squats. Go hit the gym. Bust this. Go. I ran on the beach earlier. So, man, go take a run on the beach. Do something that's going to challenge you. Strong body equals strong mind. So to do nothing is.
People are scared of a challenge. They think that if it's a challenge that it's, or if even if they don't get it right the first time, they're like, I can't do that ever. You know, like, or else if people thought that way all the time, you would never get up and walk as a child.
Yeah.
Like you're not going to be good at something the first time. And
it comes natural. Laziness is taught, man. It's taught.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, I tell my guys, don't worry. It's progress, not perfection. It's progress. It's the details. You got to ease into it. Like, you know, Tom Platz, this guy is a squat king. I like watching his motivational stuff. He's known of having the best legs ever in bodybuilding, but he had the worst when you saw a picture of before he started working out. Which, if you know working out, legs are the hardest. But he was just a squat king. He'll throw a massive weight on there and do 50 reps, like insane. But it's progress, not perfection. The body is made to ease into it. So if you haven't worked out ever, you don't go do sprints on the treadmill. Maybe walk, jog.
Yeah.
Just do a set of push-ups. Something's better than nothing.
And chances so are that if you're scared of doing something, or if it's you're unsure of it, or it's a challenge, like, you're growing from it. You're getting 100%. Yourself out of your comfort zone. And people think that we've been trained to, if we feel resistance or fear or anything, to like shut down, when that's when you should double down and be like, all right, baby, I'm going for it.
Yeah. You know, exactly. That's a great point.
So that's where, like I said, I'm thankful that I was in the military, because I wouldn't know a lot of this or have the perspective that I have now if I hadn't gone into the military.
Yeah.
You know, especially going as a medic. I didn't plan on going to the military. I joined the Army as a medic kind of by accident. I went across the street from my house to get a gallon of milk at 20 or 19 years old. And there's a recruiter there. And then next thing I knew, I'm in the Army as a medic.
Outstanding. I love it. Outstanding. I love it.
That's the last time I went and got milk. I'm like, all right, now
I want to get hustled again. The recruiter, just sign here, man. You're good.
Like, all right. I'm like, hey, Ma, I got the milk. And I also deployed to Afghanistan in a couple of weeks. Yeah. So,
I mean, I think what's great is, man, they teach you to love your country. I think a lot of people, too, that's something that you do. Like, so many people are like, oh, well, you're pro Trump or no, I'm America first.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not pro anyone. I'm America first. Whatever politician has America's needs or wants or what's going to benefit I'm America first, man. Like, does this politician have his own or his, what was there? They all have their own, you know, it's going to suit them, obviously. But I mean, what's going to benefit? I'm America first. What's going to be best for America?
Yeah.
Okay. Giving out free money constantly and doing that's not going to be good for it. It's not going to create a healthy life.
We've printed 60% of our entire monetary supply within the last 6 months to a year.
Yeah.
It's something crazy like that. Look it up after.
Yeah.
Like it's close to, I think, 60% of our entire monetary supply. Pretty much like double the monetary supply.
Yeah. Wow. And
so that's it's just devaluing the dollar. You know, so we spent all that money on these the stimuluses and stuff like that. But and then now look at inflation.
These countries are laughing at us. Like, look at these guys. Like, and so it's funny what you said about going to the gym. There's no way. Like I said, the tower of success is built on the foundation of failures. So if you go to the gym, how are you going to get big?
Yeah.
Through failure. Yeah. Working out to failure. If you don't work out to failure, they're not going to get big. That's how you got to tear the muscle. You literally have to tear the muscle to get bigger.
Yeah.
So that brings me to another thing. So if you want to get good at anything, this is one thing I got from Arnold Schwarzenegger. I love this. Anybody who's self-made, I'm going to listen to something he has to say.
Yeah.
Because I'll get, even if we don't have the same political, spiritual beliefs, I'm going to get something out of that.
Mm-hmm.
He said his son was asking about acting. He wants to get into acting. What's the secret? He goes, there's no secret to anything. It's the reps. You want to get big, it's reps. Acting is the reps, going over your line the most time. So it's like everything is the reps. You want to get good at doing podcasts, keep interviewing people, interview your grandmother, do it as a whatever. Like, it's the reps.
Muscle memory. As you keep doing it, just going to be able to do it.
The reps. Yeah. I worked more hours. The reason why I'm here in the security world, I put in more hours than the competition. That's it. I get in, I lead from the front.
And it's that simple too. And it's like, people are like, nope, it's just luck. You just woke up one day and had all that stuff. And
everybody just trusts you with their life. They're going to give you all the venues and all that. And No, they know that whatever happens in any situation, I'm going to face it head on. Mm-hmm. And I have the experience to do back it up. But that's what this country has turned into, is enabling the hard work. And people have any reason not to work hard. And I tell people, nothing but good things will come from working hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's the
plus you'll feel better. You'll feel better, man.
That's your secret right there. Yeah.
At your deathbed, you're not gonna be thinking about all the things that you failed at. You're gonna think about all the things you didn't try that you wanted to.
100%.
You know, so my mindset is, dude, I'll keep failing and failing. Like, I fail a ton of stuff. You know, I fail all the time, but I don't give up. So I'm like, yeah, I'm either going to become successful and be around to realize it, or I'm going to die before I even know I didn't become successful.
Yeah, but you keep trying, so, though, man.
Yep,
the key is to keep trying and to enjoy the ride, man. Enjoy the ride. Not everybody has the same story, but it's to keep trying and keep going. And it is up.
Enjoying the ride is part of it. A lot of people think that that's what I tell my wife all the time. I'm like, the things that we're doing and building, like it's this part's fun to me. Like, this is the journey, the whole journey. Yeah. You know, if you're just trying to do something to get to the end, then it's probably something you shouldn't be doing, because you need to be enjoying doing.
Yeah,
you know?
Enjoy the ride.
So it's like, literally enjoy it. Like, even if the struggle is the fun part. It wouldn't be fun at the end if you didn't struggle. If it just came,
it makes for a great story,
you know. So
it makes for a great story too. It's like, it's enjoying the ride, but embracing the failure. When something goes wrong, mm-hmm. when this happens, man, you laugh at it. It's like you fall down, you get back up.
Yep.
You like I remember, like I can tell you, like when this thing happened with the trucks, I mean, everything was just going wrong, but I was like, I was laughing. And then at some point I would just like laugh and be like, all right, what else is going to happen next?
Okay, cause it's so ridiculous at that point.
Yeah, it's like shit's just going wrong. And I was like, well, one thing is not going to happen. I'm not going to fucking give up.
Exactly.
I'm not going to quit. God can take everything from me, but I'm still going to put on my work boots and hard hat and go to work. I'm going to show up.
Well,
and it's crazy. I tell the people, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Go.
No, I still tell people, the guys that are late to work are always late.
Mm-hmm.
The guys that are on time are always on time. Don't tell me something about your mother. Don't tell me something about your car. No, the guys that are late are always late. And the guys that are on time are always on time. Even guys that work, even that, I got big monster that's always in the gym. I have a big guy. He's always knocking people out and he's a liability, honestly. But the guy is always on time. And the guy is always on time and he's always in the gym.
Yeah.
So it's like he always has a job.
Yeah, yeah.
He's caused more lawsuits than probably anybody I've ever met in this world. But the guy, every time I call him, he's on a big job, because you know he's clutch. He's going to come through.
He's going to be there.
He's always, he's always going to be on time. He's always going to show up, and he's a good look. He's a big guy, but it's, you know, he's calmed down a little bit now, but it's the guy's always on time, man. That's it. Just be on time. That's, you know, I saw a statistic that was interesting in Miami. If you're just on time, you have 87% of the population beat here.
Is that kidding?
What the fuck is going on, man? If you're just on time every day,
that's how easy it is to be, you know, even look like you're higher level than most people, you know, like just be a better employee than most. And 87% of the people is just to show up on time.
Yeah. And then, if anyone take it a step further, iron your shirt, dress better.
Yeah.
You know, go to the gym, dude. It's the details that separates the good from the great. It's the details.
Yeah.
Show up on time. Shut your mouth. You don't need to talk. Stay away from the cameras. Don't if there's a girl trying to talk to you, whatever, man, get the number, keep it moving. You don't sit there and have to see. I'm referring to guys that work at the night. Man, you're there to do a job, man.
Yeah.
Like, and here's the big secret. I tell the guys, if the woman is going to like you even more if you don't study her. If a girl comes up and wants to talk to you, hey, listen, I'm sorry, I would love to talk to you right now, but you know, you give me a number, whatever, but I'm working.
Yeah.
She's going to like you even more.
Oh yeah.
If you're sitting in her face and not even no situational awareness, there's a fight going on right beside you because you're just staring at the girl laughing, but, you know,
Dude,
that's, you're going to get further along in life. I think it takes, that's what it is, man. But again, it goes back to that, not the focus. The discipline. Yep. That's why the military, I love it. The discipline it teaches children. So it's like, you're not teaching your child work ethic, man.
Yeah.
It's going to struggle. Key.
And people will be presented with problems. So they'll feel like people will ask for something. Like, they'll go, I want to do this, or I want this. And then they get presented with a problem. And really, it's not a problem. It's a crossroads of, hey, if you overcome this problem right here and take this path, you're going to be closer to what you actually want. So that problem is actually what you need at that moment. It's not a problem. It's a building block or a stepping stone to your success. But people will just go like, eh, I'm going to go this way instead. I'm going to take the path already clear.
Yeah.
You know,
and it's just amazing to me how many people don't work two jobs, younger generation. Like these guys are 25 years old. Like, okay, if you don't want to be successful, cool. If you just want to work, but the people that want to be successful and they work 40 hours a week and they just like, man, work a second. You're not going to have that energy in 20 years, 30 years. You're not going to be able to do that same stuff. Like it's fine
if you want to work a 40-hour week and you're happy doing that and you're happy for working for someone else. But if you're unhappy doing that job, like you know, you're going to all of a sudden one day be like, holy crap, my whole life has just been going to this office for 50 weeks out of 52 years.
Somebody else
or 52
rich.
Weeks a year. Yeah, making somebody else rich.
Making somebody else's rich.
Dream come true. Building someone else's legacy. And you're going to regret it, you know? So just fucking fail at doing what you want to do. And
yeah, that's great. Fail at doing what you want to do.
Yeah.
That's huge, man. Fail at doing what you want to do. What? There's no shortcuts, man. I wish there was. I wish I had something to tell you, but it's just not. Just get in there hard, work 100 hours a week and have integrity, and you're going to pass everybody. I told my wife, she says, what if all this broke down or whatever? What if we had to move to freaking Kenosha, Wisconsin, or freaking somewhere? I don't know. Someone's from Wisconsin listening to your podcast. I'm not making fun of her. I think that was Happy Days. That's where I got Kenosha, Wisconsin. Dude, if I got stuck and sequestered out there and I had to work and the only place I could work was a Waffle House, bro, you know what I'm going to do?
You'd be making money, though. Those Waffle Houses get dangerous.
Let me tell you what I'm going to do. You put me in a Waffle House, I'm going to be a system manager right away, or I'm waiting tables or whatever. I'm going to figure out the system.
Yeah.
I'm going to move to manager. I'm going to figure out how to do every single job there. Fries, hash browns. I like hash browns. Figure out how to do clean everything. I'm going to figure out how to do it better than everyone else.
Yeah.
I'm going to figure out how much everything costs. And then I'm going to find out where another Waffle House is. I'm going to do this data, do the statistics, find out, okay, what's the area? What makes a Waffle House successful? Yeah. And then I'm going to look for an area, and then I'm going to find an investor, someone who goes to, and then I'm going to open my own. I'm going to have a chain up. I'm going to put Steve's house.
Yeah, you already.
Dude,
Steve's
like,
house.
Come on, dude, janitorial, you cleaning toilets, whatever, man. I'm going to figure out, I'm going to clean the bathrooms the best, but you have to lay that foundation of pride in your work.
Yeah.
And do it better than everyone else. And then meet people and figure out how you can get other contracts. Mm-hmm. But my mind works differently, but you got to work first. You can't put the cart before the horse.
Yes.
Like, it's not going to happen. You got to work hard. You know that. Anybody who went to Puerto Rico knows that.
Yes.
There's hard work.
We were working.
If you didn't get sent home in the first month, then you were somebody and you had work ethic. And why one thing we all had in common, the guys that were out there, man, we rolled our sleeves up. And it was crazy how many of the locals, it's because that area, it's sad because they don't teach work ethic there.
Yeah.
So it was all hardworking, blue collar, mostly military, 99% ex-military, because they have that work ethic, like country boys, good old boys.
Yeah.
We came in there and we saved Puerto Rico. It was us.
Yeah.
It was us that came in there. It wasn't the locals. It was us, man, that came in there and rolled up our sleeves.
Yeah. And it felt like a deployment, you know, being in the Army, I was like, okay, I didn't expect to sleep. I didn't expect, you know, and up like you could tell the ones who were used to this kind of atmosphere, because we went.
Yeah. Yeah,
we stayed where we stayed was right next door to a crematorium, and the roof, it was like a medical supply building, and the roof had been torn off, and we just like grabbed these old hospital mattresses from the top floor and like put them on the middle floor, and you could smell like bodies burning and stuff, and like, but it was fun. Like, we had a blast there, dude.
I was in a tent when I was there, and you couldn't drink the water. Yeah. So I remember we were gathering rainwater in the trash cans. So it's so funny that what I started doing is I was still working out. I was working 15, 18 hour day. So what I started doing is I made circuits. So I was squatting with logs, and you know, I like the fighting. So I filled up the trash cans full of water, and I was using it as a heavy bag. I was throwing kicks.
Oh, you guys are insane.
Dude, I was doing it. And then everybody else started following suit.
Yeah.
Everybody else started doing it. The badasses were like, nah, fuck that. He's not going to outwork me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, man, you haven't slept in 2 days. I was like, yeah, but I got to do this. And then I would do something. I blew my calf out because I didn't sleep. And if you don't sleep, you can't push your body under stress.
Yeah,
I was just so used to doing it. And then I had kind of had a bunch of people following me and the people went out, trained me. And I was like, you're not going to beat me. I'm out there with my, I got the heaviest vest with the heaviest plates. So it was weighted.
Yeah.
So that's why I got the vest. I had the ones with the biggest plates, level 5 XXL 5, whatever. Like, but I had the heaviest one just so I could work out with it.
Yeah.
That's why I got it. That's was the only reason. But I remember I was out. Yeah. I was out there working out and I remember blew my calf out and I couldn't, and I was limping. I was like, fuck, I don't want to get sent home.
Yeah. You're like,
so I was like, I was the first one to get the vehicle. I would stand and I was like, I would walk around the chow hall so they wouldn't see me. So I'd walk around. I had my friend get me food. And I think I was able to walk without a limp probably in like a month to where it wasn't noticeable.
Okay.
But I didn't want to get sent home. But I blew my calf out and it was bad. And then and the guy I was with, he was a badass. He was like, don't complain.
Dude, right.
Yep. Man, ain't nobody complaining. I was like, but so I couldn't let anyone see me do it. But it was like, nah, I'm not getting sent home. I need that money, man. Because I knew if I went home and that was it. And listen, it can't rain forever.
Yeah,
right? It's always good. The sun, all I need is a little sliver of sunlight to come through the clouds.
Yeah,
the storm, because it can't rain forever. The sun has to come out. It has to. It's just a matter of time. And so I know everything is bad. And then and that's what you can't enjoy the sun without the rain. You can't enjoy the good without the bad. It's the yin and the yang.
Mm-hmm.
People, it's like it's the way it is.
Gives you, man, perspective. If you didn't know bad, if everything was good, you wouldn't know good or bad. It'd just be how it is, you know? It's like
the worst people mentality I've ever met, people with the worst mentality and negative are trust fund kids. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. You're born with literally hundreds of millions of dollars. You have everything, but you're the worst type of person. You're unhappy. And it's like, because you don't understand, you haven't had it. You don't understand the struggle.
And they don't have a purpose. They're just existing, you know, and they exist with the stuff that they have. They don't have any meaningful work that they've contributed to society. That it's just kind of a predetermined existence where there's no expectations, I'm sure, of them. They just, you know, go spend daddy's money.
And complain and bitch and moan. It's like, but you go, you know, I've been to countries, Mexico and Brazil. Man, there's people in the favela. They're not complaining. They're hustling.
Yeah.
They're making it happen. They're going out there. And they're some of the happiest people in the world. You go to Africa, some of the happiest people in the world. And so it's.
And have nothing. All perspective. That's what one thing that in Afghanistan I saw is you have these kids and these people living in mud huts and no electricity and like, you know, no running water, like walking to the river to get water out of the river and getting shot at and being in firefights and just having this crazy existence, but you'd still see people with smiles on their faces and
still
enjoying,
smiling,
like enjoying life despite of what's going on. So I was like, wow, if these people can be happy in this situation, you know, it's just a mindset. Happiness is a mindset. I was like, when I go back, I'm going to try. I was like, if I find myself complaining about stupid things again, like a toilet or running water or something, like, you know, I'm going to, like, I had to put that in. I'm like, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to make sure I remember this, you know, go back to this moment and remember this situation, seeing people happy. So if I can be happy in this, I can be happy in your worst situation in America is somebody's dream back there.
Dream.
You know what I mean?
Dream.
Your worst day in America is somebody's dream back there. So it's like, man, I'm going to complain about this when somebody is literally dreaming about it, being able to have a car driving down a street in the US and like break down and have all you have to do is just go, hey, can you help me?
Well, you know, what's interesting here, the people here, the generation, they won't take the bus. They only take Ubers.
Yeah.
So when I moved here, I didn't have a car, right? I didn't have anything. I think I had like $700 to my name. I moved here. My friends bailed on me the day I'm loading my stuff into a U-Haul. So I threw my stuff in a storage. I ended up losing all my stuff in storage. It's just stuff. That's what it is anyways. Yep. So, but I took the bus. I worked two jobs. So that's one thing. When I got here, I worked two jobs and I went to the gym 5-6 days a week, but I took the bus. So everybody here takes Ubers. That's like, wake up 45 minutes earlier and take the bus.
Yeah.
You're never going to get ahead taking Ubers.
Cause you're spending all your money. You're spending all your money to get to work.
They want to feel like though, and they're putting boss life. I'm with my chauffeur. I got my driver and they're putting these tags up and on Instagram, boss life.
It's like, show me your house.
Bro, like, but none of them take the bus. Really? I don't have one. I have one guy that takes the bus. He's probably one of my most reliable guys.
Really?
But I have one guy, but it's like, you don't have a car. You're never going to get a car because you're Ubering.
Mm-hmm.
They all Uber, man. None of them want to take the bus. It was like, for me, it doesn't make sense. Like at the time there was Uber didn't exist. So it was cabs. So
it's been like a grand a month in fucking Uber.
I never took a cab ever. I would walk. I'd walk 500 miles before I took a cab because it didn't make sense. I was like, okay, the bus is going to cost me $1.25 and a cab's going to cost me $30-$40. But that would never in my mind. They all take Ubers here.
Like the ROI none of them take the bus. Does not compute.
No, man, not at all. And then you're getting entitled. Then you got somebody driving you around. You're 22 years old. You're 23 years old. Get on the fucking bus. Look at that old lady on there and be like, I don't want to be like that when I'm older.
Yeah.
So I want to work hard. I don't want to be like this person over here. But there's a lot of lessons in that to humble yourself too.
Yeah.
You got to humble yourself, man. But like nobody takes the bus. That's another thing that just blows my mind. I was like, how much money are you spending a week or a month on Ubers? Like,
It has to be around $1,000 to ride a fucking Uber to work and back every day.
Yeah, it's especially in Miami.
Yeah.
You're getting a stiff kick to the balls if you're Ubering here. Dude, no love. You know, it's like, you're not buying you a glass of wine, nothing, man. Like, but I just, I don't get it. I don't get it. But it's like, man, why don't you just wake up? Oh, man, well, I can't. Wake up 45 minutes earlier, an hour early, and take the bus.
Yeah.
You're going to stay by. Then guess what? Buy a moped. You buy a moped, you can get there. They never can afford.
You get 40 miles a gallon on that hog.
Yeah, dude. Driving for months on that thing, man. But I just
traded the cheap man for it straight up.
Dude, man, like it was, I never understood that. I still don't for my life. None of them do it. And they don't want to be seen. Here's the deal. They don't want to be seen on a moped. They don't want to be seen on a bus. And it was like, and I just, that's all I would do.
Yeah.
Just take the bus. I would have to take two or three buses to get to my other job.
It's ego. Ego will hold you back from most everything, man. It is a killer.
That's the killer. Ego's the killer.
Like if you're taking Uber when you can't even afford it because your ego won't let you ride the bus. And that's the thing about being humble. Just knowing that
bus stop.
Yeah. It's silly. It's a silly thing to have in your head to think that because you ride the bus, like you're a certain way or you were a certain, it's
not cool to ride the bus. It's cool to have a chauffeur. It's cool to have someone driving you around, you know? And it's like, they never come up and they live check to check.
It's that facade of life, you know, instead of having meaningful interaction, meaningful connections and having a life that is fulfilling, people would rather have this fake life online and then, you know, smile for the picture, fucking cry, you know, once they turn their phones fucking not in their face anymore, you know, hating their life. There's so many people that I see like that, where it's like your social media is just a highlight reel, but like you're so unhappy behind the scenes.
Yeah. I couldn't believe it. Like now, like I can tell you that I know who's going to be successful right away in the beginning. The guys that none of them take the bus. It's like, it got to be fun for me to take the bus when I was doing it.
You probably meet some cool people.
Take the bus. Dude, but you see things, you learn life and you understand where you want to be or where you don't want to be. And then you talk to people. Yeah, exactly. And you find out how this person got in that position.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, I mean, here in Miami, it's sad. Most of them that will ride the bus, they have the poverty mindset, but they don't speak English or whatever, but you don't want to learn the language that you live in the country you live in. It's just crazy. So you can't expect to be successful if you won't even learn the language.
And that,
so,
but
they don't want to work. That's another thing. The guys that they just don't want to work. They're on drugs or there's something, but you don't see somebody working. I was one of the very few people that was working two jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Ride the bus. Oh, man, after 2 years, I was good. I bought a motorcycle, I think a year and a half of riding the bus. That's all it took me. You know,
To caveat on that point where you said, you know, learn the language, whatever. it's like being when we were in Puerto Rico, you know, I had a lot more doors open when I would talk to people and like just try to, you know, speak Spanish.
I didn't learn
or engaged in learning and wanting to know about their culture. And it was like, you know, oh, you know, that I get to the point where I could introduce myself and say a few things. And then I'd be like, I have no idea what the hell you're saying from here. But just the fact that I was trying, you know, they really
gotta try, man. Yeah. You got to try. There's people that live in Miami for 10, 20 years, don't speak one word of English. It's sad, but a lot of these same people, what's sad is the government gives them free money. There's a certain demographic that they give free money to. They don't all, but the demographic they give free money to, the people don't learn the language.
Gotcha.
It's like, yeah, you're giving them free money, man. Why? Like
there's no incentive to learn. Yeah.
There's no incentive, man. There's no incentive. Like, why? Why should I have to do that? Why should I do this? What incentive do I have?
Yeah, it takes away their incentive completely, because then if they learn it, then they're like, well, then I got to find a job or do this. It just, it keeps people crippled. People don't see it. They think it's a temporary fix in that situation, but it's not going to give a man, teach a man to fish type of thing, you know?
Yeah.
You know,
it's easier just to ask somebody for fish. Hey man, let me get a fish.
Yeah.
Like then to learn yourself.
Yeah.
But that was crazy. But on the bus, I rarely saw people that were working two jobs, that were hustling like myself. It was very rare. Most of them, they had given up. They were lazy. They barely worked. They had drug habits. They were drunk. They were alcohol. They had something, you know, going on. But very few of them. Now it's like, this country's in danger of having success. Like the youth here, man, thank God they have YouTube, because there's a lot of hustles for YouTube and they work hard. But just like, okay, I can tell you an example, the Paul brothers, the Jake Paul and the Logan Paul, they crush it because their work ethic is crazy. Mm-hmm. They outwork everybody. That's why his kid started boxing. He's like, you know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to challenge everybody.
And the marketing that they do, man,
they
know how to work. They know how to work their niche, you know?
Yeah. But they're working hard. It's some one thing. Jake Paul, he said after he beat this the last fight, he knocked this dude out, Woodley. So what are you going to do? So I'm going to take a vacation for a couple of days. I haven't taken a couple of days off in years.
Yeah.
Somebody in their early 20s saying this.
Man, and that's why he's 20s. At where he's at. You may hate 100%. Him. You may, but I mean, the more that guy fights, I'm like, okay, motherfucker. All right. You there?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
So the more I see him, it's like, holy shit, dude. All right. You can tell he's putting the work in. You can tell he's putting the work in.
You gotta respect him. You gotta respect him, man. And then you're gonna watch just to see, fuck, is this kid really gonna do this?
Yep.
Is this really gonna have? Shoot, I gotta take this call, brother. I gotta go, man.
You're good. But hey, man, thanks for talking to me. This is Steve Traeger, guys.
Love talking, speaking with you, man. Let's keep in touch, brother.
All right, brother.
All right, my dude. Much love, man.
See ya.
All right. Bye.